The Maimer Ad Mitzvah Mayim Kulchem. Let's read the little kitzer before we move to the second chelik of the Maimer. Let's learn the little summary on page Mem Gimel, just so we can make a good transition from the old administration into the new administration. Lahavdol. Rosh Hashanah Mischaberes Nishmas Kol Yisrael Limshor Hashem Makayra Kfi Shehu Lifnei Hashem Alakecha. Rosh Hashanah Nishmas Kol Yisrael, the neshama of each and every Jew, joins together, rises up to that Metzius of the Makor of Nishmas Kol Yisrael, of Nishmas Kol Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, in the Sherish and the Makar that's called Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. That Metzius, it's not an idea, it's not a concept, it's something that exists, it's real. Of Nishmas Kol Yisrael, the Makar of Nishmas Kol Yisrael, it's called Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Every neshama returns to the collective reality of Nishmas Yisrael that stands in the presence of the Bari Olam on Rosh Hashanah. Zeh Goyim Achdus Amitis Shekol Yisrael Yachad. And this means that there can be absolute unity within Klal Yisrael. The reverberations of that return of each neshama to the Sherish of Nishmas Yisrael are felt in this world with the possibility of a great yichud and achdus at that time on Rosh Hashanah, as it says, Vayhi b'Yishuv HaMelech b'Sasev Roshei Am Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. Ki b'Sitra d'Kedusha. Because in that reality of Lifnei Hashem L'Kecha, yesh achdus mochlatus, there's absolute unity in that world of Lifnei Hashem L'Kecha. B'li Rosh B'Saif, there's no beginning, there's no end. That's why Atan Nitzav Hayam Kucha Lifnei Hashem L'Kecha means from the smallest little person to the Rosh Ha'am, to the leaders of the Jewish people. It's that circle that we were learning so much about. Without the Rosh, without a Saif, and Rosh V'Saif, Kikol Yisrael Tzichem Zeh L'Zeh. The Pnimius, each and every Jew, depends on the other. V'ein Shleimus L'Echad L'Chaver, there's no Shleimus one without the other. K'mei Evori HaGuf Sheh Tzichem Zeh L'Zeh. Just like the limbs of a person's body need one another. Hazman shel achdus, the ikar zman of that reunion, where all the limbs return to the body of Knesset Yisrael, is Rosh Hashanah. Zman tshuva she'oz b'nei Yisrael shavim mekayim mishar Hashem, and that's the deeper meaning of tshuva, when every single Jew returns to the makar and the sherish of who he is, she'sham nirgeshes ha'achdus b'gilui. The achdus can then be revealed and felt. The second chelik of the Maimer is teaching us the deeper meaning of bris. It's very connected to the parashas that we're going through now. The parashas of bris mila. And the bris ben abisam, these are the parashas of the bris of the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the others. There's brisi tishma. Ach derech prat, page mem dal. Ach derech prat, eichud derech ha-yichud. For each and every person, derech prat, specifically. Eichud derech ha-yichud. For each and every particular person, specifically. More specifically, eichud derech ha-yichud. What is the way? Eichud derech ha-yichud. What is the way of becoming one, of unity? Umahu inyan hatshuva. And what is the inyan of tshuva? V'lama davke b'Rosh Hashanah. And why davke b'Rosh Hashanah? Bir akosav achakech. After the introduction of Atan Nitzav Mahayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem. After that introduction, that tells us that something remarkable is taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Then the Torah continues and tells us how this is to happen. Bira kosa vacharkach la'avrcha bevris Hashem alokech. La'avrcha bevris. It's a very interesting lashon. We just had it in this past parasha. When we find bris, when we find covenant, bris, I don't like that English word. I think everyone knows what the word bris is, so we'll use that from now on. Wherever we find bris, we find the lashon of la'avor, of passing through or passing over. It's a very interesting lashon. La'avrcha bris. And that's what it says. After that, it says la'avrcha bris, to bring you over, to pass you through the bris. V'ha'inyin, k'mar l'mashal shnei ayahavim, shekarsim bris b'neihem. You have two people who love each other, and they make a bris between them. The kores also to cut. A bris, the kares a bris b'neihem, shloi tifsoik ahavasa. They're going to be separate now. Each one is going to go his own way. And before they separate, they make a bris. They make a bris that the ahava, the love, should never stop. That there should be no interruption to the ahava between them. Sheilo haya hadover. If the cause of love was constantly in effect, would be constantly in effect, then it would be unnecessary to make a bris. If the cause of their love, there could be many, many different reasons why people love each other. If that cause of love is in effect, it's strong, it's shining in their lives, then it wouldn't be necessary to make a bris. Other muscle. If you have, and this is really just a muscle, but alma, but if you have two countries that are at war with each other, and they came to a peaceful resolution, and the two leaders or the two generals, whoever, throw each other in each other's arms, and I'm sorry, and it'll be good, and we're going to have peace, and so on and so forth. So, b'shas ma'isa, the reason for having peace is very strong. It's only emotional, because we're not talking about a hava. They don't love each other. But the reason for having peace is very clear to them. At the time when they kores the bris, the reason for making peace is clear. People dying, all the tsaras, and no money, and b'chul, 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 war causes. What does the bris, what does the treaty mean? The bris means that we understand that 15 minutes from now, it's not going to be clear at all why we did this. And that each side is going to walk back thinking, I can't believe I did it. I lost this piece of land. I lost that piece of land. I lost this building. I lost this thing. I lost it. What did I do? So as long as the reality of the bris, or as long as the reason for the bris is clear and is shining, so you don't need a bris. You don't really need to sign anything. You don't need a bris. I understand this is not, we can't continue this way. I'm sorry, you're sorry, and everything is great. But each one, when he goes back to his place, and over time, it's not clear anymore, and there is no strong feeling of anything that binds them, it's then that the bris works with God's help, right? It's then that we need, that's for that we need the bris. You don't need the bris when they're with each other and they love each other, two people. You don't need the bris for that. Because the feeling or whatever it is that caused the love, now I'm going back to two people who love each other, that which caused the love sustains that relationship. As long as the cause is still in effect. The bris is for when that cause is no longer in effect. For whatever caused the love or brought them together, when it's not there, or it's waning and weak, so for that, we need a bris. That's what the Rebbe is saying. She'ilo haya dover she'ahava t'liya by kayim la'ad. If that which the love depends on, which is the cause of love, would be kayim la'ad, would last forever, would be kayim la'ad, lo yitzrich l'krisis bris b'nayim, then they wouldn't need to have a bris, because the cause of love, being with each other, and whatever it is that caused them to love each other, would be clear, and would be constantly renewing the love. There wouldn't be any interruption to the love. If you had lived to 120, the husband and wife, under the chuppah, then you wouldn't need a bris nisuin. There's also a bris by marriage. You wouldn't need a bris. Dami says that the bris nisuin is much more painful than the bris milah, but it's a different discussion. I'm not going into the whole inyan right now, but there's a bris by marriage. So if you'd be under the chuppah, if you'd be under the chuppah with a person till 120, whenever you meet a couple that's, God forbid, at war with each other, so the I always talk and I begin by saying, you remember how it was by the chuppah? You remember by the chuppah? But they're usually very angry when you say that. What does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with it? What do you know what has to do with it? By the chuppah. Remember by the chuppah? How you loved each other by the chuppah. So if life would be by the chuppah, if life would be by the chuppah, so then you would need to have a bris nisuin. There wouldn't have to be a bris, an agreement. There wouldn't have to be the documents and the papers and the signatures and the eidos, etc., etc. But as time goes on, the chasna kala become husband and wife. There was an old song that we used to listen to it in an earlier time. That says, I was a woman who became a wife. As a person moves from being chasna kala to husband and wife, and time moves on, so then they forget. What is it? What is it that brought us together? Why are we together? And they might remember some things, but they don't feel those things. So if ilo hayahadav shahava tliya by kayin lahad, if that which the ahava depended on would be lasting forever. Sometimes, Hashem Yerachem, a chasna kala, they go under the chuppah because they're physically attracted to each other. The rest of the stuff is really just a side. But the ikkar is that there's some sort of an inyan between them that's really much more from the nefesh Bahamas. So when they're under the chuppah, so he thinks she's always going to be as beautiful and as alluring as she is now, and she thinks that he's going to be like this forever, and it's after Sharbach is very chafam. It's not how it is. It's not how the Matthias is being. First of all, he never saw her without her makeup until now. That's the first thing. And it's not like that in the world. So if it was always that way, you wouldn't need a krisis bris. There wouldn't have to be a bris. Because if the ahava is tluya, if the whole love, Hashem Yerachem, if the love depended upon this kind of relationship, that it was very physical and very base and Bahamistic, if the whole thing was that, so then if that would be the same, which it never is, but if that would be the same, so then you wouldn't have to have there wouldn't have to be a bris. What's the bris for? The bris is when you know. 33 years later, they look at each other, they look at a picture from the chasna, and they say, you know this person? I don't remember this person. Who is that person? So why do people make a bris? They love each other. Why do you need to have a bris? Why do we need to have a bris? Like you have people become partners in business. They're best friends for 30 years, and they become partners. So the lawyers said, "We better take care and fill out all the." What? We need papers. We need to have papers. It's an insult. It's my yedid nefesh. We grew up together. You know how much we've been through together. You know how much we love each other. Why do you want us to fill out papers for the terms of the partnership? Shh, please. I can't. Why do we need papers like this? We don't have to have papers. There's such an ahava between us. We know about those partnerships. Not only that they don't remember the friendship, but oftentimes they become chalila. I don't want to say about Jews, but they become not friends in a very strong way. Right? In a very strong way. They can't talk, they can't look at each other, they're no shaykhs to each other. So, the two people who are oyhavim, who love each other, they know that what the love depends upon might not be here in the future. What caused the love, what brought about the love, or what brought about this relationship. So what do? They're afraid that in the future, that the cause of love, or that particular piece of life that was the root of that relationship might be bottled, might disappear, or might become very weak. And then what happens? A cloud. Where you have ahava tlibadava, when love depends, or when love is the result of something, then batla hadava, when that thing is no longer there, then batla ahava. If the relationship was entirely physical, so when things are not that way, physically, so then batla ahava. And where's the ahava? I thought you loved me so much. So then the ahava is not there. So these two ayhavim, these two who love each other, anticipate. They know that it's going to happen in the future, that the dover is not necessarily going to be, that was the cause, or the more obvious cause of the relationship, is not going to necessarily be there. So then what could happen? The ahava, the feeling of ahava, could wane, weaken, and disappear. It could be that even if on their own there would be that love, but there are things that get in the way. In marriage, it could be two people have a very nice relationship, but it could be something gets in the way. Studies show, I've many times mentioned over the years, I read a study like this like 20 years ago, but the list of those things, they made studies about what are most often destroying marriages. They were like the five things that are the most have the most devastating effect in marriage, and the first, I remember this was the first, was religion, religious differences. It's interesting. The second was meddling in-laws. There's a serious study that was made, but religion. Now, when you have religion with meddling in-laws, it's like a 1-2 punch, right? That means that you have two people that, if left to their own devices, they're good, they're okay, they'll be all right. But they're menias mibachutz. Sometimes you have a couple that they're very good. One of the things on the top five is financial stuff, money problems. People could be good with each other, but there's an inyan mibachutz from outside that doesn't depend on them, but the economy. It's not totally on you. The Baruch Hashem fears develop, and sometimes there's more and sometimes there's less. A person loses his job. And it could hurt very much Shalom Bayis. So there are menias mibachutz. So these two oyhavim, these two who love each other, know that not everything is up to us. There could be a change in ourselves and how we feel, because of time and so on. And there could be changes that take place around us, outside of us, that could cause our relationship to sour. They crease us habris. So what do? They make a bris. V'ayidei krisas habris tia ahavasam ahavenitzchis, so that the love between them will be an eternal one. That doesn't mean it'll always feel that way. But they will be faithful to each other. Tiavosam ahava nitzchis bal timayt olam va'ed. That will never shake. That will never collapse. Bal timayt olam va'ed. V'leya freedom shum minia. Nothing can separate them. Nothing can break them apart. Shum minia. There's no obstacle or obstruction that could take them apart. Mibayis, from inside, mibayis means from within their lives, within themselves, umechutz, and conditions outside. Nothing. Make it bris. V'hainu v'neisha oisin b'neim kesha amitz b'chazak, because they make a kesha that is strong, powerful, strong, sheyisyachadu, that they are unified, they become one, v'yiskashu, and bound together, v'yahavasim, in their love, v'kesha nifla, the wondrous kesha, u'lamalam v'hatam v'hadas, that transcends, that is higher than any reason or anything that is understood by human reason and logic. Sha'af al pi hatam v'adas, even though according to reason and logic, hayitzarach lefsek ahava, this love should already have been finished a long time ago, this relationship should have been done a long time ago, according to rhyme and reason. This relationship should have been finished, because it would appear that the original cause of love, or causes, are no longer here. Let's say the original cause was financially attractive situation, and now that's finished. It fell apart. Yeah, he lost his job. They had to move out of the house. Whatever it is, it's a foul. There was a physical, strong physical attraction, and there been a couple of children, and changes over the years, and he put on a couple of 100 pounds, and so on. And it's not. So, al pi tam v'das, the reason there was so cause of love, and das and the seichel. We have this in common. We have that in common. Oh, you like Robert Browning? I also read Robert Browning. You want to get married? So, the cause of love that was al pitam v'das is no longer here. So al pitam v'das, the relationship would end. Sha'af sha'al pi hatam v'das hayitzarach lefsek ahava, the love al pitam v'das, the love should end. A ligram, or could even ligram eze sinna, it could even be got a bit of hatred because of things that went bad. Financially and other things, bad. Hurt each other, chips, insulted, whatever it is, bad. Could be sinna. Hatred. Afal pichen machmes hakrisis bris, nevertheless, because of the krisis bris, because of the bris that was made, muchrach liyais ahavasam la'ad kayemis. This is one of the most famous teachings, by the way, out there. It's in Lukudei Torah, that it must be that the ahava, the love, is la'ad kayemes, is everlasting. Va'al kol psham techas ahava, as it says in Pasuk, al kol psham techas ahava, what Shlomo Melech was saying is, there is such a relationship where, even though there are many pshayim in the relationship, there are many sins that one has sinned against the other, they've hurt each other's feelings, they've sinned against each other, even though they're pshoin, there's bad stuff. Al kol pshoin techas ahava. The love is so strong that it's able to cover up all of the Kshoim. Even al pitam v'das, al pisechel, al pisechel. When it comes to casual relationships, we all know that if there's a person out that is not nice to you or that's insulting and so on, then you understand al pitam v'seichel. You go elsewhere. You don't stay with that person. You don't do anything bad. You don't say lashon hara chalila. You don't. But you don't hang out with that person. Why should I be al pitam v'seichel? Why would I be with that person if that person hurts me and insults me, and as a result of that, there are pshayim, there are injuries and sins that are committed against me. So I understand that I better move someplace else or sit someplace else and not have a shaychus with this person, not to do anything against them, but to stay away. Those are casual relationships. But when there's a relationship of nitzchias, forever, with the creases bris, then it's al kol pishayim techas ahava. There's an ahava that has the strength to cover all of the pishayim. Covering doesn't mean you don't know about them. Covering means that I'm able to love you and to continue with you despite them. Al kol pishayim techas ahava. One second. Al kol pishayim techas ahava zu. Ahava zu. This love has the strength to, when there's a krisis bris, a kol pshom techas ahava zu. Again, it doesn't mean that you feel the ahava burning inside of you. You could be angry. You're upset, you're disappointed. But you're able to somehow get yourself back to the chuppah. Somehow you can get yourself back to the chuppah. Somehow you can get yourself back to Maamad Har Sinai. You can get back to Har Sinai. You can get back to the Chuppah. That comes because of the Krisis Bris. The Kesher Amitz Zeh, this strong, powerful Kesher, Lefisha Bo Bebris, they can get back to that Lefisha Bo Bebris because the relationship was confirmed with a Bris, was concretized and confirmed with a bris, l'fishabal b'bris v'his kashvus, kilu nasu l'basacha, kilu, it's as if they became, the two friends or the husband and wife became one flesh. Kilu nasu l'basacha, as it says in Chumash, v'hoi l'basacha, to be one. V'kameshul ayucha lives like a havasa l'atzmut, the same way that you can't stop loving yourself, even though you did something to hurt yourself, you did something dumb, you did something that you can't stop. You have a bris within yourself of who you are. Kach la yivsoik me'al chaver. So, too, with this chaver, with this friend, or the husband and wife, where it's a krisis bris, where there's a boser echad, the same way you can't conceive of hating yourself, there are some unhealthy people, of course, who hate themselves. There is such a mitzvah. Even that is not be'emes. It's not be'emes. They're unhealthy. And like with anything, when you have a person who's unhealthy, something that's not real becomes magnified to monstrous proportions. That's what it means when something's not healthy. The same way in the body. There could be something in the body that chalila becomes much bigger than it should be, and then it's a sickness. So too, when it comes to a person's loss of confidence in oneself, or loss of self-esteem, or enough people have told you that, God forbid, you're nobody, you're worthless, so then, or you're bad, so then there could be something cancerous that takes on these monstrous proportions, and you think that you hate yourself. Okay. But that's not b'derech ha-teva. B'derech ha-teva, a person doesn't hate himself. Can't be such a thing in b'derech ha-teva. It's something which is, it's an aberration, it's something which is a sickness. But b'derech ha-teva, a person can't hate himself. So, the same way, shalayucha livsayk ahavasay al-atzmai, the same way that b'derech ha-teva, or even l'malim misechel, v'daz, mimalim mitamadaz, you know, let's say you meet somebody who has a lot of faults. And you talk to him, you say, do you love yourself? And he says, yes. And you tell him, well, you know, if I'd be you, I wouldn't love myself. I'll tell you the truth. If I'd be you, I also love myself, but if I'd be you, I wouldn't love myself. You go, well, why do you say that? Not because you have this chesaron, you have this chesaron, you have this, you have this, you have all these chesaronis, you have nothing going for you. You have lo yitzloch. You have a million chesaronis. If I would be you, not only would I not love myself, I would hate myself. The guy sits and thinks about that. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Maybe I should talk to hate myself. Everybody else hates me. Like, I'm the only one that doesn't hate me. So, Yachibarabim, Halacha Kiradim, and maybe, therefore, I should follow the majority opinion that hates me, and I should also hate myself. And yet, there's something Lamal Mitam Vidas inside a person that says, again, in a healthy person, that says, yes, I have many, many faults. And yes, many people dislike me because of my faults. But I still see some tachas to my life. And I still care for myself and want to live. That's not an excuse not to fix things that obviously need to be fixed. But the person would argue and say, I want to tell you something. You're not a Baal Seichel. You see that there are 100 people that say that they hate you. And there are 100 people who got together in this room and all agree on your chesaronis. And we wrote it up on a paper that you have, and here we have a whole document with all of your chesaronis that we went over. We had a big meeting, 100 people, and we all signed that these are your chesaronis. There are 100 reasons for hating you. And the guy tears up the paper. Not Stanky's about guy, which is also on the list. Not because of that. Because it's, even though it's, and you say, but why are you doing that? We're talking to you, we're talking to you Seichel. We're talking to you Tam Vidas, to hate yourself. Seichel. Reason, reason. Tell us why you should love yourself. And he can't come up with a good reason. And he goes over the list, and it's time that he's being honest, and they're going over the list with him, and they'll go over the number one, and they'll say, we hate you because of this. Is this true about you? Have you done these things, and is it true about you? And he says, yeah. Number two. Number two. And goes to 100. Is it all true? And he's saying the truth. And he says, yeah, every single one. And we're all intelligent people who know you for many years. And we came to this maskana, and you agree with every one of the 100 items? Yes. Do you hate yourself? No. Baruch Hashem. Again, not to use that as an excuse not to get to work. But Baruch Hashem. See, yes, but it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense that we're still Yidden also after all these years. If you think about what we had with the Baruch Shalom in Yonim over the years, there's something that's lamal in Yisaychel v'das. La'avrcha b'vris Hashem alakechu v'alasa. There's a bris of Ahava. There's a bris. And when there's Bosa Echad, when there's something miraculous that could take two and make them into one, the emes. It's lamal misaych of the das. When you have a marriage where there's a be'emes of bris, then it could be that everybody in the world is against him or against her. But the two of them are what connects them is unbreakable. Then you have other marriages, when other people start to be against one of them, the husband or the wife goes along. It's taka true. And they don't want to, they can't have a shaykhus with each other. I'm mamish in the middle of a sugi like this with some people. With an inyan of the marriage. Just this inyan, exactly this inyan. Husband, wife, and there's people that are against one of them, and it's turning the spouse against the spouse. And there's a bris that it's unbreakable. There is a parish of Gittin. There's a parish of a get. Obviously, there's such a thing as a divorce. And not anything that the Rebbe is not suggesting, but what anybody suggests. Since the Varsham gave a parish of a get, we understand there are situations where people either have violated the covenant, a bris, or they're hurting each other because they can't They can't abide by the bris. And there are mistakes that are made. We're not talking about situations like that. Hashem as well gave a way out of marriage because the Baruch Shalom knows that there are people who should not be with each other. They shouldn't have gotten married l'chadchila. Once they get married l'cha ma'isa, whatever the inyan was that was min hashamayim that they did, but now that they are, certainly the Ratzon Hashem is not that they should be torturing each other and their children for the next 80 years. We're not talking about that inyan of a get. It's also not the other extreme, where you have people that because of something went a little bit bad, see, right away, it's like they start to talk again. That's also another extreme. But we've all seen these things. To have an argument, to have problems, to have difficulties, and you have a lot of times that a husband and wife, one of them brings up that word of a divorce, of a get. And when you meet the people, you see that they love each other. And when one brings up the word, a lot of times that word is thrown out. It's used when two people have fights or arguments, or it's bit. And then the one brings up the word divorce. A lot of marriages, they bring up that word, a get or divorce, to take like a knife and to stick into someone's heart. Because they're angry at each other, and one wants to get at the other. And when the way to get at the other is to say that there's no bris. And at any moment, I could divorce you. If this happens again, I'm going to divorce you. These are the shyness that people use. With them, it's not such a relationship that people use it very, very quickly. You know, Hashem, these are serious things. The same way you can't stop loving yourself and being faithful to yourself, so too, the ahava doesn't stop with the other. That's why the lashon is found always in Tanakh, in this past parasha. Krisas bris, cutting a bris. Krisas, cutting. K'ma shekosav ashekosu as ha'egel v'yarvu ben besarv. He's bringing the pasuk in Yom, but we just saw that in by the Bishman Abbasarim, that the animals were cut in half, and have for me to walk between the besar, between the pieces. Which to any modern person, that's a bizarre thing. What kind of a stroll is that between pieces of animals? And what kind of a bris is that a person learns to learn ba'omek, to learn in depth what the inyan is? Which we see that the Baruch Shalom revealed such a thing in the world, that the bris takes place by cutting and going in between. The cutting of the calf and going in between the pieces. You hear what a deep thing this is? It means you take one guf, one body of an animal, one mitzias, you cut it in half, and you walk in between. The two parties walk in between. What does that mean? It means the same way that this animal looks like it's two, but really, because it was cut, but really it's one, so too are we cutting this bris between each other. And we walk vayavru, we pass in between the guf echad, the pieces of the one guf. It's a remarkable thing. Claim aliya shneim oivim besar guf echad, liyois la'achad. That the two pass through the halves of one whole, to say that no matter what takes place, no matter how broken apart we might feel in the future, we have to remember. We have to hold on to the mitzias of being one, of the hoy lebas echad. This is all a muscle. Yankov, was that you before?
Answered already.
Oh, good. Okay. Vihine, we're going to learn the whole Torah, and then next week, Bez Hashem, we'll do the page. Vihine, kechol ha-mashal hazeh. Just like this mashal that we learned. Nikchala mashal is also l'nal Hashem Elokeinu, the Baruch Shalom made. The Chassid, as it says in Pasuk, it's always like this. Hine anoichi kareis bris. Hashem is born. Hine anoichi, behold, I am cutting a bris. Neged kalam cha esen eflois. Before the entire nation, I'm going to do wondrous things. Perish. L'malu manatam v'das. What does it mean, nifloy? Something amazing. A pella. A pella means, I can't explain it. It's higher than seichel. It's higher, it transcends reason. I don't understand. Es, that's what it means. Hine anoichi kareis bris, negev kol amcha, es in nifloys. There's a krisis bris between Hashem Yisbarach and Knesset Yisrael, and es in nifloys. It's a miracle. It defies logic. It doesn't make sense. Why are we still together? Perish l'malo manatam v'das, k'mayshama David l'yohinesen. Like David Hamel says to Yohinesen, because we know that the love between them is mamish, the highest love between friends. And over there, David says to Yohinesen, niflosa ha'avoscha. Because of Sneas, the Rebbe just says v'goymer. But he says that David said to your highness that the love that I have for you is more wondrous than the love that a man has for a woman. Meaning that the love is a wondrous love. Niflosa ahavascha. It's a pella, it's a wonder. Kayideh yud gimel midas harachamim. Over there, hine anochi kareis bris. Is the parsha of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, of the 13 Midas of Divine Compassion. So Ayideh Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, that's why the whole Aseres HaMetshuva, Slichas, Aseres HaMetshuva, we always come back to the Bris. Kel Malch Yosef HaKisei HaRachamim, Misnai B'chassidus HaMarech HaVon HaSamo, right? Ma'ar HaRishon HaRishon Ba'ad Melchil HaTorim Slichas HaPayishim, Ayis HaTzdokim, and then what does it say? At the end, when it comes to the end of Yom Kippur, that's all we do. We drop everything else. We drop all the rest of the davening. All we say, "Schor lanu yom bris nochamol." Hashem, Hashem, karachma. Again, "Schor lanu yom bris shloishes." Remember the bris that we made. La bris habet val teifan layetzer. Rabbi Shalom, we're asking you, look only at the bris between us, not at our yetzer, al tefan la yetzer, not the yetzer, like, you know, the yetzer is a weird thing that got us to act in a way that's out of sync with the bris, that's out of character with our bris, but the bris is still a bris. So la bris habet val tefan la yetzer. La bris habet val tefan la yetzer. When do we say that? Lel Yom Kippur, I think. That's one of the piyutim of the night of Yom Kippur. Erev Rosh Hashanah, the night of Yom Kippur, I think, maybe. The night of Yom Kippur. La bris habed val teifan liyetzer. Huh? On the day of Yom Kippur or the night? By night. La bris habed val teifan liyetzer. That's what we're asking the Baruch Shalom. Schor lano yom bris liyetzer. The Yud Gimel Zerachemim, Shehim Shech Moshe Ben Alashol, Nasa Kivyochol Krisis Bris, that through the Yud Gimel Zerachemim, there's this amazing Bris, that Moshe Ben was able to work out a deal, Kivyochol. Moshe Ben brokered a deal between the Bari Olam and Knesset Yisrael, with a Bris. That's what a broker is supposed to do, to make a Bris between the two sides. That's his job, to make a Bris. Moshe Ben was a Sarser, Chazalsa, he was a merchant, a sarsa, it means a broker. A sarsa means he was a shadchan. And Moshe Rabbeinu, tafki after the whole chet ha'egel, that's when this happened, right? It was the worst, lowest time in our history until then. Moshe Rabbeinu brought together the Rabbeinu Shalom and Knesset Yisrael, and he worked out a deal. He worked out a bris. Nasa kivyochol krisas bris v'skaskos brochim Yisrael. And it's after the Chet HaEgel. After the Chet HaEgel, Hina Neche Kareis Bris, Neged Kol Am Ches Neflah, is a commitment, Mitzad HaChos and Mitzad HaKala, to be bound together, no matter what. That was the last time that the Baruch Shalom threatened the destruction of the Jewish people, as we know, that he was going to destroy the entire Jewish people. That never happened since then. Such a threat. That was it. After that, there's no threat like that. There's difficulties, there's problems, but not on the nitzchus of Klal Yisrael. There's no such thing. Of course, and unfortunately, there are individuals, and Mashiach hasn't come, and there's chait, and there's einish, and there's tzaros. But the Jewish people's presence on earth is not negotiable. It's beyond. It's higher than Tam V'Das. It's higher than anything. So you could say, but the Jews are not the same Jews that you married at Hasinai. They're not the same people. They're different. Look at them. Look at that. They gained weight. They lost their hair. They're not the same people that you married, Rabbi Shalom. This Aveira, that Aveira, all kinds of things that are going on. That's it. We made a bris. There's a bris. That bris was at that low point in the relationship. The bris was made. It's a bris v'iskash l'kadosh baruch hu Yisrael v'ayre es ahava v'salach t'lav v'neinu l'chat v'seinu l'chaltanu. And from that time on, for the Jewish people as a people, again, now talking about individuals, that's the whole inyan of tshuva, and everything worked out. Ultimately, it's even with an individual, because the bris goes beyond the people as well. See, even as far as an individual Jew is concerned, there's a promise of lo yidach min anidach, that every single Jew will have a tikkun. So even I know it was said there, one of the chevra was saying that there have been a lot of pieces of that have been broken in Klai Yisrael, so even though the people as a whole, the bris has not been broken, but even with the individual person, ultimately every person has a tikkun. Let's not forget that that this life that we're living in right now is only a very small piece of who we are. But the neshama ultimately of a Jew has a tikkun. So it applies not only to the people, but it applies to each and every Jew. Each and every one of us has a bris with the Bari Adam. And that ultimately, as long as you're a Jew, there'll be a tikkun. Ultimately, there'll be a tikkun. There's no such thing that any one of us is forever banished from the Bari Olam. There's no such thing. Anybody that ever tells you that, run away from him. It's not true. He's a liar. There's no such thing that a Jew is banished from the Bari Olam. It can't be. It's not something we understand. It's l'malam yisaychul mitam v'daz. This kashus. And therefore, a bris was made. Moshe Rabbeinu broken this bris. This is the biggest pellet. This is the greatest wonder. Es and the flies. Hina nechi kares bris negin kol amcha es and the flies. Lo ira es ahava v'salachta shelo yiyu avnaseichem avdilam. Ki chelik Hashem amai. That there'll be forgiveness. And that it won't be forever. And it can never ever be that the aveiros, that no matter what the Jewish people do, or even what an individual Jew does, it can never be that those sins would forever separate him from God. It can't be such a thing. The bris is intact. After all these years, the bris is intact. It can't be such a thing. There's no such metzias. Our enemies tried very, very hard to convince us over history that the bris between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael was violated by the Jewish people and violated by God. And therefore it's finished. So what did the Neitzrim, the students of Isa Ish, what did they call the New Testament? What's the name of the New Testament? The real name is from the Hebrew. What's it called in Hebrew? Bris Hachadasha. Shayna Numen. A new bris. Bris Hachadasha, that's what they call the New Testament. In Hebrew it's called Bris Hachadasha. Person that understands Torah and what we're learning now knows there's no such thing as that. It's a bris chadosh.
The problem is they call our testament the Old Testament instead of the original testament.
Right, so they say that the papers were torn up and thrown out because we killed Isa Ha'ish and the other things that we did that were bad. Yeah, we did bad stuff. That was one of the good things that we did, but we did a lot of other... We did bad stuff. Not that we actually were responsible for killing him either. We didn't kill him. We didn't have the schus. But others did that. Goyim killed him, Jews didn't kill him. But the understanding is that the old document is disqualified. But one of the millions of steers in that religion of Avodah Zarah, one of the millions of steers is that they still like to refer back to the Old Testament. So they came up with an interesting thing called the New Israel. See, it's very complicated because on the one hand, you have a problem because Isai is Yashke believed in the Torah. And he was a product of the Torah. And on the other hand, we have to get rid of the Jewish people and the relationship that they have to God. So we have a new bris, we have a new covenant and a new testament, but we still refer back to the Old Testament. Why? Insofar as the Old Testament, according to their perverted way of learning it and convenient way of learning it, will provide some evidence that there'll be a new covenant. So as far as that's concerned, they like to refer back to the old covenant, not to put on tefillin or tzitzis or anything like that, and not to keep Shabbos, but for things that are convenient, like honor thy father and mother, and stuff like that. That's, you know, that's for sermons and nice to put on walls and things. But as far as the bris is concerned, there's a bris chadash, there's a new covenant, there's a new bris, there's an old testament and a new bris. Is that itself is something that defies Tam, the Daz, to say such a thing. Of course, it's absurd. The emes is that there's Kichelek Hashem Amai. There's no such thing, Kichelek Hashem Amai. And that is something which is forever. There's no such thing as a bris chadosha. That's why Hashem Zbach told the Novi Hosea to get married. It wasn't such a nice woman that he married, if you know what I'm talking about. But he married her, and then he started loving her. He wasn't going to get married like that, but then he got married. She wasn't a woman that behaved nice, but he married her, and then he loved her. And the Navi says, and then the Baruch Shem said to him, okay, now divorce. So then the Navi says, well, you know, I, so the Baruch Shem, what do you mean? You didn't, why not? I was the one that made the Shidduch, you were against the Shidduch, and now, so the Navi says, yeah, but I, you know, now we love each other, we got used to each other, and we work out the inyanim and so on. So the Bar Yishalim says, so you think that I should throw my people away and get a new people? There's no such thing. There's no such thing. You could have tinies that the Jewish people are not as pretty as they used to be. You could say we gained weight and lost our hair. You could say that we found out, that the Bar Yishalim Kivyachal found out we have a bad temper. Drink a little bit, sometimes plays cards, cries, doesn't always go to minyan on time, could be a little bit insensitive and nasty. He found out some things about us, right? Kivyachal. Afal pichen, that's mine. We're in this together. There's a crisis of this. We're in this together. Zahava nitzchis. Not always felt, but always there. And the krisas bris and the reminder of the bris, schar lanu hayayin bris, is ma'ayre the old love. It brings you back to the chuppah. It brings you back to the original cause of love. As Hashem, next week we'll learn the parish and so on. Shkar.